Now we're turning this evening in the Bible to the book of the Psalms for our Bible reading, to the Psalm number 16. You'll find the book of the Psalms in the middle part of the Old Testament. I encourage you in your own home to read the scriptures along with us, look up the passage, the Bible references, and indeed pray as you read God's word that the Lord will speak to your heart. We're reading the Psalm through in its entirety, beginning at verse 1 of Psalm number 16. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 11. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now the text of scripture I want us just to look at this evening is the verse 8 of that Psalm number 16 that we've read together. And I read that verse with you again. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now in these words of Psalm 16 verse 8, David here is testifying of the Lord being the object of his faith. In other words, his heart, his soul, his mind was fixed upon the Lord. And likewise, we can say that the Lord is to be the continual object of the faith of every believer. Now, this does not mean that the Christian is to live like a hermit, nor does it mean that the child of God is to shut himself away from the outside world like a monk or a nun. No. The believer is to live in this world, but though living in this world, he is not to be like the world. In this world, the believer is to fulfill their calling in life. And in doing so, they are to be a witness for their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ himself emphasized this to his own disciples in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. In the verses 13 and 14 of that chapter, when he says to them, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. By those words, he was telling them that in this world, they were to be a witness for the Lord. They were to be salt and light for the Lord. Now, as the Christian, the child of God, would seek to live for Christ and witness for Christ in this world, be it in his workplace, in his home, in his community, in the church, in the work of God, then Christ must be the object of his faith. In other words, the heart, the soul, the mind of the believer must be focused upon the Lord. Indeed, as the hymn writer would say, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. And by this is what the psalmist had in mind in the words of our text this evening in verse 8 of Psalm 16, when he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Now we can say that such a spirit is encouraged in the life of the Christian by regular prayer, by the reading and the study of Scripture, by fellowship with God's people, and when enabled, diligent attendance at the public means of grace. Yes, the goal and the aim of every child of God should be like that of the psalmist in our text here in Psalm 16, verse 8. When he says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And that being the case, I want us then just to note some ways whereby we can set the Lord before us as the object of our faith. First of all, I want to say this evening that the believer is to set the Lord before him as his protector. In verse 8 of the Psalm, David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David was one who depended upon the Lord for protection in his life. Look at what he says in verse 1 of the Psalm. He says, there in verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. He was looking to the Lord for preservation, for protection. Again, over in Psalm 32, in the verse 7, he says there to the Lord, he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. David depended upon the Lord for protection. Hence he was a man of courage. He was a man of valor. Remember him going to face Goliath, the giant of Gath. Remember what he said to the giant as he went out to face and do battle with him. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45, it says, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. My David was one who could face the giant Goliath with valor and with courage. Why? Because he was depending upon the Lord for a protection in the day of battle. Child of God, in this life in which you and I live, yes, there are times of suffering that we have to face and have to deal with. Indeed, the psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. As well as times of suffering, there are times of service, times of duty that we must engage in the Christian life and in the Christian warfare. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then there are times also when as believers we are tempted. Tempted by the devil to sin. The devil attacks the Christian. We are reminded of that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. There in verse 11 of that chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about standing against the wiles of the devil, the attacks of the evil one upon the Christian. And then he goes on and he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There he speaks of the attack of the devil upon the Christian. Upon you and I who are saved, attacking us, tempting us to sin, to do that which is wrong in the sight of the Lord. Well, child of God, the way to know victory and the way to be courageous in such situations is always to set the Lord before you as your protector. You think of the words of Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer. Speaking of the Lord in one of the hymns that he penned, he said, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper mid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. In all the battles of life, and all the calls to duty, and all the times of testing and temptation, he depended upon the Lord as his protector. And that's what you and I are to do when we're saved. In times of trial, in times of temptation, in times of Christian duty, Christian, depend upon the Lord for protection. Turn over to Psalm 17, the next Psalm. Look at what David says in verse 8. Notice what he prays there. He says, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." There he was praying for protection. Dear believer in Christ, pray for protection. Pray and ask the Lord to keep you safe, to protect you, to guard you, to guard your testimony from every attack of the devil and the world and the flesh. Every attack, both seen and unseen. Yes, to set the Lord before us means when you and I are saved, depending upon the Lord for protection. But then secondly, we can say that the believer is to set the Lord before him as his guide. And this was the case with David. David was one who depended upon the Lord for guidance in his life. Look at what he says in verse 7 of Psalm 16, immediately before our text. He says, "I will bless the Lord who have given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the ninth season." When he talks about counsel, he's testifying there of the guidance of the Lord in his life. Again, think of what he says in the shepherd's psalm of Psalm 23, verse 2, speaking about the Lord. He says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And believer, in this life, you and I, yes, we must confess that we lack wisdom. None of us know the future. Often there are difficult and perplexing decisions to make in life. Well, in all these matters, you and I, we need the Lord's guidance. We need the Lord's counsel. In the Old Testament, you read about the Lord leading Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. And he led them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud by day and by night. It says in Exodus chapter 13 in the verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them away, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night." They knew the counsel and the guidance of the Lord before them. And believer, God has given you and I His Word, the Scriptures, the Holy Bible, to be our guide in life. Think of what is said in Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8 about the Word of God. It says here, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." All those verses together speak of God guiding you and I through His Word. Think again of what the psalmist says. Psalm 119, verse 105, he says to the Lord, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Child of God, I would say to you this evening that in every choice of life, bow to the Word of God, the counsel of the Scriptures. When you have a difficult decision and choice to make in life, pray about it. Seek God's counsel. Ask God to direct you by His Word. Ask the Lord to guide you by the Holy Scriptures. Indeed, it was John Calvin, another one of the great Protestant reformers, who said, "Let us so adhere to the Word of God that no novelty of man may captivate us and lead us astray." He wanted to be guided by the Lord. Again, you think of the great promise of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says there, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Yes, you and I, as believers in the Lord, we are to set the Lord before us as our guide. But notice also in the third place, in connection with our text, we can also say that the believer is to set the Lord before him as his example. And again, this was the case with David. Think of him as a young Christian, and First Samuel 18 and verse 14, it says there, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." As a young man who walked and sought to live after the example of the Lord. Think of what is said about David over in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 13 and the verse 22. There Paul is speaking about the Lord's own testimony regarding David. And this is what he says. He says, "He raised up unto them David to be their king." That's the king in Israel, to whom also he, that's the Lord, gave testimony. "And said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Following the example of the Lord, David was a man after God's own heart. Believer in the Lord in this life, you too are to set the Lord before you as your example. The Lord is to be your example in this life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse 8, there the Word of God says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work." And what a verse that is. What does it tell you? What does it teach you and I? It shows us that through God's sufficient grace, you and I who are saved can be enabled to follow after Christ. To follow after the example of Christ in our life. Indeed, the hymn writer says, "Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is he." The hymn writer knew that the Lord was to be his example. Think of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He says there, "Follow me." And the Lord's the one that you and I are to follow in our life. He is to be our example, our pattern. Believer, by God's grace, you are to follow after the example of Christ and live a holy life. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, there the Lord says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." By God's grace, you and I are to follow after the example of Christ. Live a holy life. Also, Christian, through God's grace, you're to follow after Christ's example in exercising a forgiving spirit. You think of the words of Paul to the believers in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 32 when he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There Paul was counseling the believers at Ephesus to show forbearance and a forgiving spirit toward one another. That's how you and I are to live the Christian life. Indeed, highlighting the importance of such a spirit amongst God's people, Charles Spurgeon said, "Cultivate forbearance till your heart yields a fine crop of it." By God's grace, dear child of God, you and I can show forth a forgiving, a forbearing spirit, even toward others. Also, Christian, through God's grace, you are to follow the example of Christ in your giving. You think of what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. There the Word of God says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso have this world's good, and see if his brother hath need, and shut have up his vials of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Child of God, in this life you and I were not to follow the example of this ungodly world. This ungodly world is not to be our pattern. It's not to be the example that you and I are to follow. Rather, the Lord is to be your example in all matters. You think of what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. There it says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." And that word "follower" there literally means imitator. What does it mean? It means that you and I are not to imitate the world, but rather we're to imitate Christ. We're to follow Christ as our example, as our pattern. Yes, child of God, and setting the Lord before you in life, you are to set Him before you as your example, as your pattern. But then we can say further in the fourth place this evening that the believer is to set the Lord before him as his observer. Think again of these words of David in Psalm 16 and verse 8 when he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. There He speaks of the nearness of the Lord. And David was one who lived with a conscious realization that the Lord was near and that the Lord's eye was upon him as his observer in life. You think of what David says in Psalm 139 and in the verse 3. There he says, Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. He knew that God's eye was upon him, observing him. There once was a philosopher of a bygone day, and he exhorted his followers to imagine that the eye of some illustrious person was always upon them. Well, Christian, as you go through this life, with all its ups and downs and twists and turns, always remember this, that the Lord's eye is upon you. Nothing escapes His notice or His vision. Think of what is said about the Lord in Psalm 121, verse 4. It says, Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord's eye is upon you. Think of the words of Hagar in Genesis 16, verse 13, when she said of the Lord, Thou God seest me. Remember this, dear Christian, that God's eye is upon you. Yes, a constant awareness of the Lord watching over you. It will regulate your behavior. It will stimulate your zeal for God. It will motivate your sincerity in the Christian life. It will succor you in times of affliction. It will correct your speech. It will keep you from sin. It will relieve you in times of reproach and times of trial. Setting the Lord before you, remember this, that His eye is upon you. You know, in Christian homes, there often used to be a picture text. You don't maybe see it so much today, but that picture text that said these words, it said, Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. No doubt the thought behind that text was this, that God's eye is ever upon His people, His ear is ever open unto their cry. Oh, believer, remember this in life. God's eye is upon you. Yes, child of God, set the Lord always before you, as it was said here by David in our text when he spoke of the Lord and says, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. Now I shall not be moved. Believer, set the Lord always before you. And you'll know blessing in your life. You'll know joy in your life. You'll know contentedness in your life. Whatever your lot is, whatever your circumstance is, you'll know the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. Then one final thought, just in connection with our text, we can also say that the sinner is to set the Lord before him as Savior. And again, this was indeed the case with David, because David was a man who trusted the Lord for salvation. Listen to his testimony in Psalm 27, verse 1. He says there, The Lord is my salvation. His faith was in the atoning work of Christ for the forgiveness of his sins and a place in God's heaven. Psalm 103, verse 12, David says there about the Lord, he says, As far as the east is from the west, so far have He removed our transgressions from us. And there he speaks of the forgiveness of sins. Again, look at what he says here in the psalm before us in verse 10 and in verse 11. He says, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thine right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And here David is alluding to the glory of heaven. Indeed, the glory of the resurrection of the saints of God. Unto everlasting life and glory in heaven itself. You see, David was one who trusted the Lord for salvation. Friend, if you're listening in tonight and you're still not saved, let me say this, that Christ alone is the one that you must trust in for salvation. He is the one that you must trust in if you are to be saved from your sins, if you are to be certain and sure of God's heaven. Yes, by His perfect obedience and sacrifice on the cross, Christ is one who has provided all that is needed for salvation. He is the only Savior. He is the mighty Savior. He is the ready and the willing Savior. Think of what is said about Him in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. There John is speaking about Christ and God's salvation through Christ. And he says, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That word propitiation means the one who can appease the wrath of God. Sinner, in your unsaved condition, the wrath of God is upon you. But that wrath can be turned away, that wrath can be appeased. Are you putting your faith, putting your trust in Christ and in the blood of Christ alone for the cleansing away of your sins? Yes, if you come by faith to Christ, trust in Him alone for salvation, then the Lord's wrath will be turned away from you. You'll be saved from the wrath to come. And the Lord will save you for time and for all of eternity. Indeed, the Bible says, "Come, for all things are now ready." Come now to Christ this night and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. And then your testimony will be like that also of David's. When he said, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." We thank You this night for listening, and may God bless His word to your heart and to your soul, for Christ's sake. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged in the Lord. If you're not saved even tonight, may you come and taste and see that the Lord is good.